In our lesson this morning, we talked about faith and how we need to grow our faith. And I made the point that saving faith is a faith that is in perpetual action, growing. It is not a faith that stands still. It is not a faith that is dormant. It is a faith that is very active. And in fact, if we're not still enthused about our service to God, if we're not excited about being a child of God and the opportunities that we have, then there's something wrong. And I fully understand that with the passing of time, it's very possible for us to lose enthusiasm in certain things. But we also see people who remain enthusiastic about their line of work, about their passion, for many, many years. You know, Tim Duncan is to a point in his life when really he should not be very effective as a professional basketball player. But he is. And one of the reasons is he has a passion for the game. Now, he's been in the league an awful long time. His body has taken the abuse of professional basketball. He's gone through the preseasons and the training, getting ready for each season. They've been fortunate enough to play in the postseason most years and sometimes to win it all. And yet there's a passion there that remains. And when we look at someone like that, we see that they've really not lost that mindset that it takes to be successful. And you may look at others, and after a few years, for whatever reason, they just seem to be playing for the money. They just seem to be playing for reasons other than passion and excitement. And I think the same thing can be said for us as members of the body of Christ. There are some times it seems like we just go through the motions of doing what we know we're supposed to do, what the Bible teaches us to do, and yet they're just seems to be a shortage of that passion. And then there are others, as you look at them, they seem to keep it all of their lives. I'll use the Tenons as example tonight. They've been members of the church for a long time. They've been active in the Lord's body for a long time. And even at their age, they still want to be here. They still want to be a part of God's family. They still want to be able to worship God. And I would suggest to you that theirs is a faith that continues to grow. I recognize that there will be ups and downs in all of our lives. I know that there will be times when it's just easier for us to do the right thing and to feel the right way. But what we're looking for is that consistency of growth. What we're looking for is the step by step, the methodical approach that we have to growing our faith. There are some things I believe we can do to ensure our faith grows. In the passage read a moment ago in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, clearly God intends for our faith to grow. He is not pleased for people to remain stagnant in their faith. And yet there's that danger that because we've done it before, because we've been members for a period of time, that we lose that enthusiasm. So tonight, we're going to spend just a few moments talking about some practical things that we can do every day. None of these are new. These are things that you've heard many times probably. But just to remind us that these are things we can do to help grow our faith, to make sure that we are stronger tomorrow than we are today. And I would suggest to you the first one, and you probably have already guessed this, but the first one is to pray. To pray to God. To keep that line of communication going. To pray because we understand what God has done for us. We understand His love and His grace, that was extended through Jesus Christ. We know that God continues to care about us today. To pray to God for the things that we need in life. To acknowledge Him. In the book of Luke, chapter 11, it says that Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught His disciples." And so Jesus gave them, if you will, a pattern of prayer, a formula to pray. He said, when you pray, say, "Father, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." A very brief pattern, if you will, to the kind of prayer that God is pleased with. What we are to do. And then He goes on, and He reminds them of the needed persistency of prayer. And He does that by giving us an example of someone who was in a bind and they needed a little help. He says in verse 5, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.'" Now you understand that this was not an opportune time to go to a friend's home. To go at midnight, a time when the friend in all probability was asleep, a time when the friend had put the day's business in the past. And here, because the man was not prepared, because the man was not ready, he goes to a friend and he asks the friend to give him something to feed the one who had come to him. The one who had journeyed to him. And he will answer from within, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." And so we understand the response. We can relate to that response. "I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his imprudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened." Now, please understand that this story has an application. And we cannot take every part of this story and try to make it fit. The point of this story is very simple. Be persistent in prayer. Ask and ask again. Continue to knock. Do not give up on prayer. And I'll tell you, if we do that, if this is the way we pray to God, our faith cannot help but grow. You cannot pray to God time and time and time again and not have your faith grow. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, "Rejoice always," Paul said. "Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Pray without ceasing. How can you be reminded of God's greatness and grace and blessings as you pray to Him? And how can you open up your heart to Him about your needs, about your difficulties of life, and not be motivated and moved? Pray. Set aside time each day. Make a conscious decision. Decide for yourself when you're going to pray, and do not let anything stand in your way. It may be as you first wake up in the morning. It may be as you go to sleep at night. Multiple times to pray each day. The prayers do not have to be long. They do not have to last 30 minutes or an hour. But if you set your mind to prayer, your faith will grow. Point number two that we need to do on a regular basis, study with purpose. Study with purpose. Now, let me say this. I think that having a plan to read through the Bible in a year is a great use of time. And I would encourage people to do that. I would encourage people to read the Bible from beginning to end to get that understanding, that picture of God's Word and the testimony that God gives. That only scratches the surface of what the Bible can provide us with. You need to study with purpose. You need to decide that there's something you want to learn about. There's something you want more information on. And you need to apply yourself to that end. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul told Timothy, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." Then he goes on and says, "Until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching." And so he's telling Timothy, you need to be a teacher. We're going to talk about that more in just a moment. But Timothy, you need to apply yourself, set yourself to publicly proclaiming God's Word. Okay, how does he get ready to do that? Verse 15. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you'll save both yourself and your hearers. He's telling Timothy, a man clearly inspired by the Holy Spirit, that he still needed to study, he needed to think about these things, he needed to fully apply himself in all of these matters. In other words, he needed to study and think about what he knew to be right. To think about the information. It's one thing to have information or to have knowledge. It's another thing to be able to take that and to apply it in understanding. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And so again, the point is, Timothy, you apply yourself to knowing, to dividing God's word. Talk about the Lord to others. Spread the message. Point number three, if your faith is to grow. How in the world can we grow our faith if it's not even important enough to us to talk to people? And I don't mean just non-Christians, non-believers. We do need to talk to them. But what about one another? We also need that encouragement and that help. We need to be willing and able to talk about the Lord. We know from the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 that the multitude of Christians who had obeyed the gospel in Acts 2, in Acts 3 and 4, and other places in the early church, that they went, as he says, about preaching the word when they were scattered by the great persecution. They went everywhere preaching the word. Talk to people about the Lord. Talk to people about what is important to you. We're willing to talk sports. We're willing to talk politics. We're willing to talk hobbies. We're willing to talk sometimes about work and jobs. We're willing to talk to people about our families. What about the Lord? We need to do more than just make small talk. We need to talk about things that are vitally important. The Hebrew writer chastises the Hebrews, the Jews, in Hebrews 5, verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk in not solid food, he says. There was a problem. And you note that it hindered their growth. It hindered, I would suggest, their faith. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child, but solid food is for the mature. Now, the mature are the ones who have grown and are growing. For those who have their powers of discernment trained by, now listen, constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And so here you have described by this inspired writer what it means to become teachers, what you have to do to become someone who can talk about the Lord. If you talk about the Lord with passion, your faith will grow. Fourth, do a good deed that requires sacrifice. And I'm not minimizing all or any good deeds. But there's just something about doing a good deed that actually costs you something. Where you have something invested in it. Do a good deed that requires a sacrifice on your part. Maybe it's a time sacrifice. Maybe it's a good deed where someone in the congregation has been sick or maybe in the hospital and they're now home and there's a need for a meal to be prepared. Well, that takes a little time, doesn't it? Sometimes it takes a little money. Most of you know that my youngest son fractured his jaw. For the first month and a half, I believe it was, after that, anyway, through part of August, I think, one of the members of the church had paid to have someone come in on a regular basis and mow his yard. He couldn't do it. So a sacrifice may involve money. But do a good deed that requires you giving something of yourself. I think that is critically important. What do we remember about Jesus Christ? Certainly he did good. We know that. And as we read through his life, we look at all of the miracles that he performed, all of the good that he did, the ways in which he helped people. And all of that was important and helps us to understand who he is, verifies who he is. In fact, John tells us this very point in the Gospel of John. That the purpose of miracles, at least in part, was so that we might believe. And we know that. And so we don't minimize what Jesus did. But the thing we remember most about Jesus is the sacrifice that he made. The good deed that Jesus accomplished, that Jesus did in his life by saving us. And we talk about that horrible day that he was beaten. A crown of thorns was placed on his head. He was spat upon. He was mocked and ridiculed. He was nailed to the cross. That's what we remember about Jesus. And I would suggest to you, even though we can never measure up to that kind of sacrifice, if we do good to others because we love them, because we care about them, and do not mistake, Jesus did all of this because he loved us. If we do the same, our faith cannot help but grow. Number five, encourage someone who is down. Encourage someone who's down. It could be for any number of reasons. Perhaps they've lost someone they love, someone who's dear to them. Maybe they've just found out that they have a sickness or a disease. Maybe they've lost their job. Maybe there was a fire in their home. Maybe they're just going through a difficult time in life. Encourage people. Help build people up. Help hold people up and strengthen them. You know, when we look at the book of 1 Corinthians, there were many problems there in the church. We know that. But the point that the Apostle Paul tries to make is that we are a family and we are to be there for one another. We are to edify and strengthen one another. We are to be active in each other's lives by way of encouragement. And so as you read there, especially through the latter portion of 1 Corinthians, what you find time and time again is how we are to love each other and care about each other in the body of Christ. Number six. If you want to grow your faith, learn to deal well with temptation. In our lesson this morning, we talked about how temptation, how Satan uses temptation to chip away at the different aspects of faith. And so the key is to overcome temptation, to overcome the tests, the trials that Satan puts before us. Turn to the book of James, if you will. And I want you to listen to what James says in chapter 1 as he describes this process of temptation, our trials. He says in James chapter 1 and verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Now, you see that faith is being tried here. That's what temptation, that's what trials do. They test our faith. They try our faith. And he says that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The idea is, as you go through these different trials in life, and your patience grows, then so does your faith. Your faith grows as your patience grows. We're going to be tested. We are warned by Jesus himself that the servant is not greater than the master. And we are warned that if Jesus had to endure, so will we. In fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, one of the points Jesus made there in the very first part of that sermon was the fact that we are going to be tried. We are going to be tested. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, in verse 11, part of the blessed passages, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." It makes no sense to us as we read these passages to think that we are actually made happy, that we are benefited by persecution. But that is the exact point that Jesus makes in another place, a little bit later in the book of Matthew. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. There, this is part of the warning that Jesus gives to his disciples. You're going to be tested. You're going to be persecuted. And he says in verse 21 of Matthew 10, "The brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And he shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." He that endureth to the end. It sounds to me like he's describing a person whose faith is active and growing. How in the world could they have gone through? How could they have gone through that with a weak faith? With a diminished faith? This took people of great faith. And then a little bit later in the same chapter, he says in verse 32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. And so we're going to be tested, is what he's saying. We have to be willing to do what Jesus Christ did in his moment of test, in his moment of trial. We have to be willing to take up our cross, just as he did. Verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And so understand that if our faith is going to grow, then we have to learn to deal well with temptation. On a daily basis, we are going to be tested every day. So you make a decision that you're going to pray to God the first thing you wake up in the morning. And then something happens. And you don't get to do that. Okay, but you remember that you made that commitment to pray to God. And so you look for a time, an early opportunity to pray to God. You see how you're being tested? Every day, there's a trial placed on you by the commitment that you've made to Jesus. You've made a commitment to Jesus to serve him. You've made a commitment to Jesus to be active and involved. And so you said, okay, it's important that I pray. It's important that I pray to God the Father. It's important that I make my requests, my needs known. That I glorify his name and praise his name. Well, you're going to be tested with that. Tried with that. And the only way for your faith to grow is to learn to deal well with the various trials of life. Make no mistake. You cannot be a faithful Christian and your faith be stagnant or even be declining. The only way to be a faithful Christian is for your faith to grow and to mature day in and day out. Satan is chipping away. Satan is doing everything he can to take that rock of faith that you have and to make just a little crack in it some way. And he will try you with all of his power, with all of his might. He will be relentless as long as your faith is growing. You will be a faithful child of God. If you're not a Christian, I hope and pray that tonight you will make that commitment to respond to God's invitation, that you will become a child of God, that you will believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that you will turn your heart to him in repentance, that you will confess your faith and be baptized. If as a child of God, maybe your faith hasn't been as strong as it should be, maybe it's not growing like it should, then make a personal commitment that you're going to work on this day by day by day, doing perhaps the things that we talked about, perhaps more than what we talked about. But the point is, it needs to be a conscious, determined effort. If you've not done that, recommit yourself. Ask God for forgiveness. Turn yourself back to him. If you need to respond, do so. Let's together. We stand and sing.